Well, I'm back here up in the front of the church today. One thing I'm super thankful for, Pastor Stephen and his series. One thing we did find out in the last 4 weeks is that neither one of us can finish a series on time. That's we cannot get through anything in a timely fashion. That was going to be a one-week Sunday with Mr. Steve there. And 4 weeks later, I was loving every second of it. You guys remember the IHOP stack from last week? The IHOP stack. If we don't get our thinking right, we are like everything else is going to crumble. I loved how he walked us right through those verses about Jesus and pointed out how each one of these, you have to have it. But if you just have that one, kind of the pitfalls of it and how it could go south. You know, if you don't have a great identity, but you've got humility, you know, you end up being a martyr and, you know, worm and a woe is me. But if you, you know, if you've got this amazing God identity without humility, without the next stack, you're just going to be arrogant and no fun to be around. I'm just saying. Right? And then obedience, like if you've got all that without obedience, what use is it? We're not getting anything done. And then our purpose, and so many of us want to know our purpose and we run after the kind of the last card in the deck. Anyone ever work with someone and you're like shoveling out a hog barn or something or whatever? Never fails, especially with not stereotyping, just talking about experience here with older farmers or whatever. You know, you finally get it all cleaned out and you get the last shovel on. Well, there you go. That's the one we were looking for. Should have started with that one, right? Funny, I know. Well, if we start with that one, like you can't start with, like it's a kind of a joke, but like that's the one we were looking for. We were looking for that last one. And if we start with our purpose without going through the process of getting there, like we'll self-implode, like things will crumble. So loved how Stephen pointed that out for us and took a lot of weeks to do it. I'm just kidding. Loved his series on that. And so now it's back to me. And so the whole time, I'm going, Lord, where are we going? And because Stephen's was kind of on powerful people as well. And the last time I preached kind of was on Thanksgiving, being a powerful person. And I hadn't really finished the other one yet, but I kind of had some ideas for going forward. And really felt like the Lord was saying kind of to round back around and kind of finish up the powerful people a little bit, because I think there's some more things that we can dig into. So today is going to be a revisit of that, and we're still talking about, powerful people, and we are still talking about having a victim mindset, kind of this victim mentality. And so we're going to redefine that again today. So this is all brand new stuff, and yet we're kind of revisiting some of it. So it's all new slides, so it's new content, but it's some of the things that we've kind of touched on just a little bit. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, and we're going to really drill in to see kind of how sinister this can be, because it seems like this is a message that should be in kind of like the better living section of the Christian bookstore, right? You know, how to make our lives better, right? And yet, we know the Word of God tells us, how do we surrender our lives, right? So it seems like kind of one of these self-help Christianity kind of things, and I promise you it is not. It's how we live out purpose, how we keep from being... Anyone ever felt like God had something for your life and you've just been kind of side-shelved, like stuck in neutral? Anyone ever felt stuck in neutral before? Yeah? All right, we're talking about being stuck in neutral today. That is a brand new revelation right there. Stuck in neutral. We could subtitle this series that. So what happens when we become victims? Let's go to this first. Let's just see what we're talking about here. Now, this is talking about a victim. Okay, this is not talking about a victim mindset. This is talking about a victim. But according to Webster's Dictionary, a victim, everyone say victim. A victim is defined as a person who has been attacked, injured, robbed, killed, cheated, or fooled by someone else, or harmed by an unpleasant event. I'm just going to tell you that last little part of the sentence, that's a wide category, okay? Robbed, that's pretty narrow. Injured, a little broader. Killed, killed is pretty specific, right? But the end, harmed by an unpleasant event. That's one that really kind of opens all of us up to feeling like a victim. And now this is what defines a victim, right? Someone who has taken part on the receiving side of a bad deal. Raise your hand if you believe that bad things happen in life. Three of you. Oh, a bunch more. Okay. Right? Life. We live in a fallen world. Life is not always rainbows, unicorns, roses, and crystal cathedrals or whatever. Couldn't think of anything else. But there's bumps in the road. And there are times that people really go through rough times. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about you need to just suck it up and, you know, quit pouting. But that's not really what we're saying. We're talking about a mindset that creeps in and begins to debilitate us. And the series is called Powerful People. So in the back of our minds, we're always answering the question, how do we be power, according to how the Word of God would define powerful people, not how just anybody would, but how the Word of God would define powerful people, people thriving and producing fruit, and right? Are we made to produce good fruit, yes or no? Yes. All right, a few of you believe that. Are we made to produce good fruit? Yes. Okay, so God wants us to thrive and have a product of our life that is in Christ. He's in us, we're in him, and there's to be a fruitfulness of our life. And one of the things, one of the many things, but the one that we're talking about today that can hamstring that and can take our, and these are weird terms if you've ever never heard this talked like this before, one thing that can take our power away, we can give our power away, and that sounds weird, I know, but promise that it's realistic. Is this idea of having this victim mindset. So I'm going to read you I didn't cite this next quote, which is not good, but something that I was reading on a blog, I think. You will see, as a victim, once you kind of fall into the mindset that I am a victim, we're going to kind of start defining it. You will see your entire life through a perspective that things constantly happen, quote, to you. Victimization is a combination of seeing most things in life as negative, beyond our control, and as something you should be given sympathy for experiencing because you deserve better. A victim mentality is actually a way to avoid taking any responsibility for yourself or for your life. By believing that you have no power, then you don't have to take action. And that's really at the heart of what we're talking about. And how many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you have ever experienced this before? 100% of you, at one time or another, it might have been just a little sliver for about 30 seconds. You were pouting and then it really kind of snowballed, but then then you're like my wife. You just don't, that's not how you live. The rest of you, more like me, right? You're just going to find things to blame, and it's not my fault, and oh, if they wouldn't do that to me, and if this wouldn't have happened. You see, the problem is, and it's always out there. There's always something to blame. There's always a problem why my life looks the way. Don't look at me. Stop it. Don't look at me. It's you. It's them. It's that. It's the thing. It's the stuff. That's why I am the way that I am. Right? And, well, how can you change that? I don't know, because it's their fault. And it puts us in this position of, I've been wronged. And I'm not saying that we haven't been wronged. You all have been wronged. If you've been alive for more, I mean, you entered this life with some doctor, crack, on the backside, right? Like, you entered this life offended. I'm just telling you. It's a real thing. So it's when we stop dealing with it and just kind of relegate ourselves, oh, yes, more stuff's going to happen to me. It's more than just pouting. It's more than, here's what I was thinking. How do I describe the difference between making an excuse, because we're going to get into some of that, making an excuse and having a victim mentality? Well, I think making an excuse is just part of our normal everyday process of wrestling with the flesh and our spirit, wrestling with healthy thinking and bad thinking, wrestling with laziness and go-givenness, whatever that would be called, courage and fear. It's like Is all of that ever going to go away? It's not. Until we get a new body and a new mind, that's always going to be around. And so we make excuses. And that's just part of this wrestling through process. And someone's like, oh, don't give me those excuses. You're like, yeah, I know. And then you go do the thing, right? That's not a victim mentality. A victim mentality is when those seeds of those excuses plant themselves and root into your heart. And now, unbeknownst to you, you start seeing the whole world like that. All of a sudden, you know what? You're right. Woe is me, right? People are out to get me. Things are against me. I do have some special, unique power to be belittled and powerless and ineffective. And it's not my fault, so I'm not going to do anything about it. So I've already kind of said most of these, but we're just going to kind of walk through these. So when I have a victim mentality, bad things happen in life. Here's what I believe. This is what I believe if I have a victim mentality. And, squirm in your seat if this, hits where it needs to. Bad things happen in life, but even more so to me, and worse than other people. When we get in this victim mentality, we have this insidious way of manufacturing this story that my story is worse than your story. You just don't know if you knew my story, but the problem is you won't know my story because you don't care enough to listen, right? When we get in a victim mentality, that's how we think. And we don't think that we're thinking like that, but we really are. And I've been in this rut. I would dare say some of you have been in this rut. We all know people that are in this rut. And the things that happen to them, well, by gump, they are just horrible. And if, heaven forbid, you would ever bring up anything that you or someone of your peers has experienced along that same line, it's that's different, right? Because as the victim, I have the monopoly on how bad things are. Hopefully you're not squirming too hard yet. But we also realize that none of this is my fault, okay? Yes, bad things happen to me, but it's not my fault. And partly because I have no control over this. I didn't do it, I didn't start it, I didn't want it, it just happened to me, and then they're mean, and my dad did this, and the boss did that, and you should see that my coworkers and my alarm did this, and then my car did that. It's lucky I'm even here. I'm amazing. But everything happens to me. And it's this whole idea that life is just constantly happening to you. You've just got no control over any of it. And because of that, there's nothing that I can do to help. So I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to tell everybody that's going to listen how bad it is, how my stuff's worse than your stuff, how I didn't ask for it, I can't control it, and there's nothing I can do to help it. And it's not my fault, right? Nobody knows anyone like that? Okay, good. All right, then I'm just kind of just covering some ground here. All right, we're great. But should you ever catch yourself in any of these, you can remember. I remember that one time Pastor Kirk told us about being a victim and how it's not a good thing. And last one is just that people and things are against me. Worse things happen to me more often, and I've got dirty, rotten people in my life that, you guys, you don't know anything about that. Yes, dear. Yes, victim. Right? So, someone with a victim mentality has a woe is me outlook, feels that life is unfair to them, and thinks that other people or events impede them or hold them back. They are unwilling or unable. Those are two key words. They are unwilling or unable to take responsibility for their own happiness, their own success, or their own well-being. There's this block that happens, and they feel that I can't do anything about this, and I'm taking no responsibility for it, and often I'm unwilling to even talk about it and have that conversation. If you've ever tried to help somebody, smile with me. If you've ever tried to help somebody, smile big with me. If you've ever been tried to be helped when you're in the middle of one of these, you don't want to hear what that flapping mouth is saying because you just don't get it. And all of us well-meaning people, all of you well-meaning people are trying to tell me things that I could do to change my situation, things that I could do to help. I don't want to hear it. You just don't get it. You don't understand. You don't know the trouble I've seen, right? And we just constantly, a little bit of power will rise up in our spirit and we'll quickly give that away. Nope, can't do nothing about it. Someone will give us a brilliant idea and we'll be like, nope, not going to do that. I'm going to lay this down because I can't change anything. And we say things like this, you make me so, fill in the blanks. We left some blanks open for you, so you can just kind of create your own scenarios here. And these are certainly not all-inclusive here. These are just a smattering of things that we might say. Look at this one. I'm powerless here. We would never say that. I am powerless. I am utterly and totally helpless in this situation. I cannot do anything. But if you would blank, then I could blank. Now, this statement could also be good, healthy communication as well. So if you would move your car, then I could leave. You're not being a victim, okay? But I'm also saying that often if you're saying things like this, I'm stuck. I can't do anything in my life. I have no power. All of my power hangs on you in this moment. Huh. If you would call before coming home, I could not be angry about you surprising me. Somehow my anger is Pinocchio stringed, tied to you doing some kind of thing preemptively to prevent me from acting in a certain way. Guys, that's bizarre. Guys, that's common. Happens every day. Well, I can't help that. Fill in the blank. That's just a powerless statement. I can't. Now, there might be some truth in some of these. It does not mean that it's totally true, and that's the entirety of the description of the situation. Well, they blank, so I had to blank. Again, not talking about they dropped a bundle of shingles from the roof, so I had to sidestep. I'm talking about things like that. I'm talking about they acted this way, so I had to respond that way. They didn't do this, so I had to act in a way that's inconsistent with my faith in the character of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying here. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever had a scenario in your lives where they did something and so you had to act unchristlike, right? Thank you for being holy and doing the right things all the time. But some people get into scenarios where they feel compelled. And because they did it, I have to do this. Well, certainly it's not what Jesus would do, but they did that, so I've got to do this. And you are a prisoner to other people's actions and attitudes. You are a victim, but you're not really. You think you are. Or people just don't understand or care. That's one you hear a lot. You just don't know. We already kind of hit that one, but here's one we all love. I would blank, but my husband, my wife, you see, I would blank, but my boss, you see, I would do this or act like this or make this kind of decision, but my coworker, blank. I have no power here. Don't you understand how powerless I am? Because they are dirty, bad, nasty, evil people. They have all the control over my life, and I can't make any decisions. Don't look at me. Look at them. Bad, evil. That's what we do as victims, as victim mentality victims, victims of our own mindsets. Let's talk about fallen fruit. What? So here we, earlier when we were talking about powerful people, I talked about blame in the Garden of Eden. Okay, Stephen, when he talked about having a great mindset, talked about the Garden of Eden. Here today, guess what we're going to talk about? The Garden of Eden, right? You are powerless right now to not talk about the Garden of Eden. So in the Garden of Eden, we've got this scenario. You guys remember that story, the creation of the event when man and woman were created? And God gave them some forbidden fruit, right? God gave them something that they should not do, correct? Do you remember what that was? Not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Everything else on limits, that tree off limits. It's off limits. Don't do that. This is kind of basic Bible 101 here. And they, guess what they did? They ate, right? The fall of mankind. That's where all the junk entered humanity. That's why what we see out there today is a direct result of what happened in that moment. Okay? So then what happened next? Let's look at what happened next. They recognized that they were naked. They're like, huh, is the mall open still? I don't really know that this is, I don't know why they were nervous. There was no one else around, right? Like the animals or I don't know what, but anyways, they were concerned about the state of their body, right? And there's some deeper implications to that. And so they were afraid and they hid. So you got fear and shame showing up, right? And then they blamed and a victim mindset came in, and that was the fruit of that moment. That was the fruit of that moment. So think about this. Every time that we participate in a victim mindset, we are reproducing the fruit of the fall. We are reproducing the fruit of the fall. And now there's all kinds of fruit of the fall, but I find it really interesting that that's the first fruit that showed up. That was the initial one. Let me walk you through this. This is, I mean, kind of a redo here, but yes or no, the garden was perfect and sinless, correct? We agree? Right, God made it. He made it perfect. Satan was there, but that kind of, he got booted out of heaven. So he showed up, and so there's this perfect environment, right? Sin entered that environment that Adam had dominion over. Adam had control over that. He had authority over that. Adam sinned, right? Fear, shame, and loss of closeness with God were felt. That's what they felt inside of them, okay? I know that you're like scratching your head a little bit, but there's a reason that we're talking about this. So that stuff was produced on the inside of them. Like they didn't have any choice over that. That's just what they felt as a result of sin. But here's what they did. Because they were created in God's image, we've got free will and we are creative. Say creative. Creative. We're creative with our words. We're creative with our imaginations. We're creative with our decisions. We're not just bound to instinct like the animal realm. We are creative. And so the very first thing that we chose to create, see, they didn't create, I mean, they did by their actions, but not like on purpose. They felt fear and shame and loss, but then they created blame and victim thinking. That was the first fruit. It was the first fruit that they had, that they participated in. And so the fruit of that garden experience was blaming and being a victim. Well, it was the woman that you gave me, by the way, right? It's probably your fault, but it's at least her fault. And she's like, yeah, snake. It was the snake, right? So you all know the story, but I want you to see that it's not just about the blame. It was the first fruitfulness of evil that was presented. I want you to see how insidious this is. I don't know, I'm not trying to over-dramatize this either. I'm not trying to say, oh, look at how evil we all are. I'm just trying to say that it's more than just, come on, man, you need to get your stuff together. There's this crippling effect that started in the garden. And when we participate in that, when we're like, and we start blaming and throwing away all of our ability to make decisions and choices and move forward, we're participating in that first fruit that was produced in the garden. I want you to look at this word, accuse. Accuse, it's a verb. And it means to charge with the fault, offense, or crime. Or to find fault with, or, say it with me, blame. To make an accusation. Accuse. 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 Where do we find that word in Scripture? Accuse. Satan is the accuser. The verbiage and intention and action of Satan is to accuse. Think about that for a second. To accuse is to charge with the fault, to find offense. What are we doing when we're being a victim? Well, it's because we're charging the fault. this thing in my life, my powerlessness here, the situation I'm in, I didn't have no fault in it. The fault is, right? It's what we're doing. As I was just studying this out, I was like, this bugger is a little more nasty than I thought this was. I was just trying to be helpful for us to be powerful kingdom people. And the more I dug into this, the more I'm like, wait a minute. This cripples people. And it not only cripples us from being kingdom powerful people, it really aligns us with kind of the language of the devil. Like, I just said that caught me off guard. I didn't realize that. Satan is the accuser. And when we're accusing and finding offense and blaming things on other things in our life, I'm not saying you're like possessed and like, hear what I'm saying. We're taking our words, our thoughts, and lining them up with the thought patterns, processes, and words of the accuser. Ugh. Doesn't that make that sound a lot more nasty than just, oh, you need to buck up and take responsibility for your life? Like, I don't want to be doing that. I don't want that in my life. And that's why it debilitates us so much. So look at this. No one really consciously chooses to be a victim. So everyone take a breath. All right, it's not my fault. It's not your fault that you think it's not your fault. No, we don't really choose to be a victim. It's more a way that we fall into, and I think we would all agree with that. And we fall into it because it works. It becomes a strategy to deal with life, whether it's staying safe in our comfort zone, numbing oneself, whether it's finding company, getting attention, avoiding being responsible for something in my life. It's this, like, how many ever use a pressure cooker before? Yeah, I like to see that. We're in the Midwest here. Yep. Well, and they're kind of reinvented now. You can just plug them in. Used to have to drag out a 318-pound thing and bring the tractor in and put the chains up on the stove, right? Yep. Yep. You called four closest neighbors because we didn't have cell phones back in those days. Can you check on me in about 4 hours? Because we might be blowing the house up later. You know, I know my other seven neighbors, they all lost the living room to this thing. So we're just going to check on us like at 6 and see if we're still here, right? Now you just plug it in the wall. But there's a little wiggly valve thing on the top. A who? That's a rocker. Okay, yep. I thought that was like, yeah. Oh, oh okay. Or on the top of your water heaters. There's a little valve on top of that. Most of you guys just see a pipe coming off and going down. If that pipe is not there, watch the Mythbusters episode. And it's a pressure release valve, and it goes through the roof. And the victim mindset is a way of just, it's just, we use that as a pressure release valve. We just, psh, no responsibility. Things are getting, oh man, you need to take care of this in your life. And what about this area in your life? Psh, it's not my fault. Right? And we use it as an escape. And I don't have to do nothing about that because I'm scared to. I don't want to take responsibility. I'm lazy. But often it's because I'm scared. Right? And I want sympathy, and I'm missing something in my life. So I want you to look at me, look at my problems, look at how hard this is for me. It's important to and it's also challenging to recognize the difference between unwilling and unable. Let me end with kind of a little different. We're going to give you an example here. This is not a great example, but it's an example you can all relate to. So, of the victim mindset mentality kind of people, this wouldn't be maybe the first one we choose, and we're going to talk about me here right now. So, but it'll get the point across, I think. So help me to kind of nail this down. We're going to talk about, hello, Fluffy. We're going to talk about how John came to me the other day and said, hey, Fluffy, looks like you've put on a few pounds over the winter. He didn't actually really say that. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that he did. John's like, well, you did. I'm just saying. So in that moment, I've got a couple options, right? I can decide, well, is that true? Yeah, and I can kind of just, we can have a laugh about it. And I can say, maybe I'll diet next week or whatever. And we can kind of just go on our way. I can get angry, right? And I can decide that I'm going to punch John in the nose. I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. Okay? I can play out the next 5 seconds beyond that and know that my life ends. All right, so now I'm insulted, offended, and my life is ending. All right, so that's not a good option. So then we're just saying, just for humor and for argument's sake, we're just going to say that I'm just going to go into the victim mindset here. Listen, John, listen. It's not my fault. This is not my fault, right? It's because I have bad genetics. I'm going to accuse. I'm going to blame. Now, listen. Here's the catcher. The hook in all of this is there might be a little bit of truth in some of these things, but I'm going to blame the totality, the entire situation, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is. And that's when it gets into victim mentality, because the whole scenario is I've got bad genetics. Just, it's all about how much fat I carry on my body and where my muscles insert to my bones and just how I look, you know, when I stand sideways in a mirror. Like, that's their fault, right? I blame my genetics. But how far back was that? The two words were unwilling and unable. Unwilling and unable. Well, let's see. How about this? We're going to look at unwilling for this whole scenario here. It's just I've got bad genetics. Every time I eat 3 pizzas, I gain weight. I know other people. They can eat 3 pizzas or 4 pizzas. So I'm unwilling to be honest about how many calories I'm actually consuming. How much am I contributing to this? I'm unwilling to take any responsibility in this at all. And so I'm just paralyzed. I'm powerless here. It's genetics. Well, it's harder for me to lose weight than other people because of my genetics. Well, often that's an excuse, and I'm unwilling to even try. That might be true, because I know people that's true. But when I become powerless, I can't do anything. These genetics, they stand over me and they say, you cannot do anything about your life. And I'm sorry, John, it's the genetics. If you want to talk about my belly, you're going to have to talk to my DNA. Right? What else can we use? Well, I don't have time to work out. Okay, so we're talking about unwilling. Unwilling is the word that we're really looking at. I'm in a victim mindset because I'm unwilling. I'm unwilling. Well, what if I get up a half hour earlier? Any of you that know me? Now, wait a minute. Someone just gave you a valid and actionable response to an issue that you're having in your life. Well, I can't do that. I just can't get up. I can't get up in the morning. What do you mean by I can't get up? You mean that 3 Russian guards come and hold you down with like their AK-47s and you cannot get up in the morning? Well, no, that's not what, you just don't understand. You just don't understand, right? We go to one of our pushbacks on that. I could get up a half hour earlier. Most likely, I'm unwilling to do that. Now, again, this is kind of a silly example, but we're kind of extrapolating that to other areas of life. You could go walking on your lunch break. Oh, I need my food. Like, if I don't have my carol, like, I get dizzy, and then my head does weird things, and then I can't think straight, and then, well, take your sandwich with you then or something. I don't know. You could work out on weekends. Oh, you don't understand. I am so exhausted. I work so hard. If you worked as hard as I did, you would understand that you get, right? Do you see? It doesn't matter what you throw at me, man. I've got something I can deflect faster than you can pitch. And you're trying to help me because you know that I'm uncomfortable. You know that I want to be out playing with Callie out in the snow, but I get 2 steps in the snowbank and I'm going to die, right? This is all make-believe, by the way, right? You could trade some other activity for exercise. Maybe instead of going on Facebook for 6 hours, maybe you could, again, totally fictional, right? Maybe you could go downstairs and work out. I can't do that. I have to stay in touch with my friend. They're my lifelines, right? I can deflect faster than you can pitch. Nope, it's not me. It's not my fault. I can't. I'm in this situation. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing I can do about it. Nothing we can do about it. Can't touch me, right? I'm a victim. I can't change. We're just about done. Well, I don't have that kind of self-control. Well, that's evident, right? But now that's now my lack of, like how can I change that? Like, it's this ethereal, it's out there somewhere. I can point at it and blame it, but like it doesn't give me any practical advantage. It just keeps me from being responsible for it. And so the answer to that will be, well, what can you control? Okay, so you can't lose 4 pounds next week. Can you have 2 pizzas instead of 3, right? Like, but because I'm a victim, I don't have to take any response. Like, I can't. Like, those other guys, they're like, I can't do that. That's not me. Mm-hmm. So then we're just out, right? Then we're just done? Mm-hmm. Because that's how I want it. Then it's not my fault. I don't know how to work out. Again, we're just pulling out an example here. But can you see that these are things that I might say? Have you ever heard of YouTube? Right? Go walking down the street, find some guy that looks muscular. I don't know. Do something. Like, take some action to change what's going on. I can't. I'm unwilling. Well, the gyms are all closed. See, I'm fat because the gyms are closed. It's all COVID's fault. I would not be fat if it wasn't for a disease. Oh, so you have COVID? No. But that's why I'm fat. Really? I thought it was the 3 pizzas that you ate. No, that's genetics. Right? None of this is my fault. I am fluffy because my family and my friends just don't support me in this. Are they tying you down and force feeding you? No, they just ridicule me. How is that a deterrent? See, I'm fat, I'm fluffy, I'm out of shape because the gyms are closed, my family and friends don't support me. I'm fluffy because Alan. That one is true. I did pass up his soup the other day because I was saving up my calories for an excursion that night. And so I was sad about that. But yes, but I did eat some of his M&Ms. So it was kind of a net loss. I know, soup, healthy homemade beef soup, M&Ms. Pre-packaged golden goodness. We went for the M&Ms, but only 3. So remember, this just in closing. It's important to recognize the difference between unwilling and unable. Last verse, we're going to go to Matthew 12:33. We're done. Make a tree good, its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. We're called to be powerful people and bear good fruit. We don't want to be producing the fruit of the fall. We want to be producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Self-control. Taking responsibilities, making great decisions, moving forward. So just more some fun and really just kind of picking away at kind of the insidiousness of this. And this wants to cripple you. If not now, maybe in the past, or if not now, maybe in the future. And we want to be aware. Remember the Bible says that we're aware of his schemes? I just want to, as my final thoughts, I just want to pause it before you today that this is a scheme of the enemy. The getting locked into a victim mindset, while we don't do it intentionally, it's a scheme of the enemy to take away what he can by our permission. Take away the strength and power of our lives by us buying into this idea that I can't do anything about it if you only knew. But you don't care anyways. And that's not true. That's not true. You are powerful people. Look at somebody, say, you're powerful. All right, I know that sounds silly and weird, but you are what God says you are. You are what God says you are.